morning, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians and in Ephesians. So if you put your fingers in both those spots, 1 Corinthians and Ephesians. Brian, what's your stuff doing on the pulpit here, huh? I'm not singing a song. What's this stuff here? All right, here we go. This morning, we're going to be doing Representing Christ. I remember first coming to the church here, and after a few years, Pastor Larry thought he'd roll the dice and let me take the pulpit one day. And he gave me Mother's Day. I thought, I was excited, I was thrilled. I called my old pastor and said, "This is great, I'm going to get the pulpit for my first time." He's like, "Really? What are you doing?" I said, "Mother's Day." He's like, "Boy, that guy's sly, he's slick." I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "You screw up on Mother's Day, you're in trouble, man." He's just, that's it. You can't mess up on Mother's Day. You can't mess up on weddings. You can't mess up. I mean, there's a lot of things. Yes, he tossed you that. Not as like, that's not a gift. He was sneaking out. And I was like, oh. But Mother's Day, I am nervous. But Father's Day, I am even more nervous because I have to present something to you that I need to make sure that I'm doing. And if I'm not, I need to make sure I'm getting to it. As your pastor, I need to make sure that I'm leading you by example as your shepherd. And so with digging through this, I want you to understand my heart is in here. And that's what we talked about, representing Christ. And just as Mother's Day, we talked about there's so many people who, men here that are young men that aren't fathers. But the key is, in the Word of God, is we all need to be fathers. We need to reach out to the young men in our lives, and especially the fatherless. If you don't have a son or a daughter, you can always jump in and help out those who maybe don't have a father that shows up. So, 1 Corinthians 15, turn there. We'll start there. And this morning, we will be covering today is, well, not only for dads, as I stated there, it's a serious problem actually in our nation right now. There's been a steady decline in people going to church across the board. There is growth going on in a lot of churches in certain parts of our country, but there's a steady decrease nationwide. There's more churches closing than opening. There's more pastors leaving the ministry than there are coming in out in the United States. Outside of the United States, it's different. But sadly, with the decrease in across-the-board attendance, the men coming to church is even much more less than women. Some parts of the country, there's 4-1 in the church working. You know, it's sad because you'll ask, you know, some people why they have a female pastor, but we don't have male pastors available. I know of a couple churches seeking a pastor right now. They can't find one. They can't get one to come. A lot of pastors come with a list of wants before they'll show up, and it's very different. And sadly, with the decrease in attendance, the church also has come a decrease in personal time in the reading of the Word of God, in time in prayer. And then if you stop and you look, that as our nation has done this, and you look at society, it makes sense. There's no big equation we need. If the men are not in the Word of God, they're not spending time on their knees, and they're not getting together, sharpening each other, you've got what we've got outside, what you see in this nation. So this morning, I'd just like us to really check this out. You know, the 3 points, there is an outline in your bulletin there. We will cover the need for a real relationship with Christ. Real meaning that it's not something that someone told you about. It's something that you concretely know is inside of you. And the need for us to realize that this relationship is needed and it's important, not just for our families at home, but in society as a whole. And finally, we will look at the need to be representing Christ. So before we dig in, let's have a word of prayer for our time here. God, we ask you, we plead with you that you would just work in each one of us here. Holy Spirit, as you are here amongst us and within us, I pray that if anyone here not have a personal relationship with you, they'd make that happen today. And God, I ask that you not allow me to speak any of my own wisdom, but only yours. God, let me share your word and your truth with love and grace that you have, but also just right on point, God, with what you want this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. First, there is real. The question that I have there is, do you have Christ? Are you saved? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? See, without salvation, there is no hope of heaven, and there's no hope of you living out the right life. People don't understand that salvation is not just a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's a get-out-of-hell and also live a right life. All of that coincides together. With Christ living within you, you now have the power of the resurrection within you to live this righteous, right life. 1 Corinthians 15, look at there is the gospel plainly put by Paul, verses 3 and 4. For I deliver to you, as of the first importance, what I also receive, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. See, the power of the resurrection comes and resides within you. And that's needed in order for you to live out this life. And that's, we look at the world and so many people reach out to Dr. Phil or whoever else, psychologists, and begging for help. But we know that without Christ, they're relying on the flesh. And the flesh is a mess. The flesh only wants what the flesh can get. The flesh wants a desire and has desires to seek pleasure for itself, not for the greater good of the all. Next question there is, do you know Christ? Flip over just a few chapters, chapter 13 there. We're looking at verses 11 and 12. Is there a desire in your heart to really know Christ? And I'm not saying, do you know Scripture? Have you memorized Scripture? Do you know church history? Do you know some of the basic things? I'm asking, do you know Christ? You know, this past Friday, we started the extol here for the 30 and unders. And just having a time for the younger people to really be, to deepen their relationship. See, our young people are leaving right now in droves out of the churches. And we're going to talk about that. What we're seeing is the reasons. But see, the guy shared, the pastor we listened to, he shared that he's 35 and what does he want to do when he gets to 45? And he wants to really know Christ. He wants to get to know Christ more. And to some of us, you say, well, how? I mean, you read it here, you know, he came, he died, he lived this life. Do you mean like more? No, know him. You know him like in an intimate way, in a way that when you're walking and talking, all you're thinking about is making sure that Jesus is okay with what you're doing. Like your husband and wife, you know, when you're dating, the guy doesn't show up like a slob. He cleans himself up. He wants to make sure that she's impressed. And continue to date as you get married and you're constantly seeking to know each other, to love each other. That's the same intimate relationship God wants with you. He doesn't want just a toss out to Him. He wants you to have an intimate love relationship with you. And 1 Corinthians 13, Paul here, he says in verses 11 and 12, he says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, I know in part, then I shall fully, even as I have been fully known. Now Paul's not talking about just infancy here. He's not talking about that, but he's talking more about his conversion. You know, Paul, he was seeking these lists of do's and don'ts and all these different things, but when he got saved, he put away these things. He got serious about God. He got serious about his relationship. And we know that we will never truly become to that level of manhood until we really get to heaven. You know, us men, you ask, I mean, if you got a pride issue, you might say you are, but we know we mess up. We know we're not the best dads in the world. We know we're not the best husbands in the world. But we need to be seeking Christ, seeking His face, establishing, wanting that relationship, wanting to reflect Christ. People should be able to look at our homes and see that Christ is evidently there through you. You know, all too often, people, as we grew up, you know, we'd ask our parents, you know, why are we going to church? And they'd use that old line, because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, Ken Ham did a study on, you know, why these young people are leaving. Francis Chan's done it. A lot of guys out there have done these studies, and they found the same thing. When they go to these colleges, they ask them, why are you not going to church? And they said, don't know why we went in the first place. Because the line, because that's what you're supposed to do, doesn't make any sense to the young people nowadays. You don't do what you're supposed to do. I mean, some of you probably even sped on your way here, right? Street signs don't work. Laws don't work. We know that. Come on, look at the people, the silliness. I mean, this is disheartening what's happened down in South Carolina. But we all know you can have every gun law in the world. It's not going to stop the bad guy. I mean, you can't tell him, hey, that's illegal. You can't use guns. That's bad. Shame on you. Oh, I'm sorry, and give you the gun back. Hey, that's not going to work. We don't listen to laws. We don't do what we're supposed to do. Why do you go to church? Have you explained that to your kids? Maybe you don't even know why. Why are you here? Is it to seek the face of Christ? To sharpen brothers and sisters in the Lord? To build up your own relationship with God? To deepen it? I mean, that's Jesus wants that throughout the week. Sunday, to me, should be a day that we get together and make sure we all did it. You know, Brian and I were talking about that the other day. You know, imagine if exercise, all right? Imagine if all I did was Sunday morning, I got up for a couple hours, moved around, did some stuff, but then the rest of the week I just sat and ate. How healthy do you think I'd be? That's what we're doing in the Christian life. Some of us, this is you gotta open it on Sunday morning. Jesus desires it to be, you know, I mean, you remember, guys, right? When when your wife, your girlfriend wrote you that letter, you're excited, you read it, and you check it out. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. She's happy, you know. Okay. I mean, that's the way it was. You desired that. God wants that with you. He wants you to have a desire for His Word. He didn't write this down to hold things up on your shelf or to have a big one in the middle of the room so when people came over and said, wow, look at the size of that Bible. That's amazing. He must be super spiritual. You know? Is it a part of you? If you have a hard time memorizing, that's why I love that the old man that makes the little kid take the bucket, right, and has holes in it. Go down to the creek and get me some water. The kid goes down, gets the water, comes back. You know, all the water's leaking out. Gets back. He says, nah, do it again. It goes back. He's like, this is stupid. This is just dumb. Sitting here scooping his stupid water, going back here. It leaks all out by the time I get back here. And he says, thank you. Thank you very much. He's like, it doesn't make any sense. I didn't get any water back here because I just wanted my bucket clean. Right? If you say, well, Pastor, you don't understand, I can't memorize your verses. It's every week you got a new one, and sometimes they're long, and then you bring your five-year-old up here, and he makes me look, I'm embarrassed because your five-year-old memorized it, and I can't memorize it. Folks, God's not telling, just put it in there. Clean your bucket. Fill your head with the Word of God. Trust me, it's amazing. You get out there, and you'll be talking to this guy one day, and that verse will come to your head, and you'll walk away more amazed than the other guy. Because you'd be like, I could never. That is amazing. Flip over to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, we'll look at 14, 15, and 16 there. God, we're going to talk about that. God wants us to be the men that we need to be the leaders. And in Ephesians 4, 14, 15, 16, it says, you know, again, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You know, a lot of men will say that, well, I'm the head of the home, but she's the neck, you know, whichever the way the neck turns, the head kind of goes with it. I look at this scripture and it says that God's the head of the home. I'm the neck, right? And I'm not going to turn the head. Folks, honestly, think about it. You can't, the neck's not going to turn it. God's the head. I'm going to follow Him. I'm just another part in this body with Him. Christ is the head of the home. He is the head. He's going to tell us what's going on. The head tells the neck. The head tells the body. But He says there in the beginning, we no longer be children tossed to and fro with these doctrines, these different things. And you know, I remember my grandfather, I was telling him that up at Word of Life, we're studying the Mormonism, we're looking at Jehovah's Witnesses, and we're checking all this stuff out. And he just said, be careful. Be careful, because when you study all these things, it's good. It's good to know. But, you know, our federal government, do you know how we teach the men and women to know if there's counterfeit money? We make them memorize the real bill. They know it so well that you put a fake one there and right away they know it. They know the original bill so well. They know it right down to the T, the little dots, the little thing in the back and all that stuff so well that you put a fake one down, they know it instantly. That's what God wants you to do. Knowing other faiths are good, but you need to be careful. Make sure you know your own faith well. Make sure you know your own faith. Well, this Mormon guy, you know, I'm trying to reach him and stuff. Then study your Bible. Dig in. You know, I'm witnessing at work. You know, the one guy I worked with says, man, you know, when I ride in the truck with him, I've never been in the Word of God so much. I go home and, man, it just makes me get in the Word of God. I said, why? It doesn't incur. I mean, I talk to that guy and it just breaks my heart. I want to pray for him even more. He goes on this tangent about, well, the church is this and that. And I said, no. None of that matters, man, unless you're saved. You don't let people go on a tangent. Who cares about the rest of the stuff? This theology and these discussions and all this stuff doesn't matter if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, because you're going to hell. Who cares if we argue till we're blue in the face? And I win the argument, I go to heaven, you go to hell. That stinks. That's not good. It's not like I'm going to get to heaven and be like, ha, look it, you're down there, I'm here, ha. That's not what it's like. Jesus isn't that way. He didn't come down here. You know who He was hard on? The Pharisees. The men who knew the Word of God and who weren't following it. He didn't call out the Gentiles and the sinners and stuff. Because they didn't know better. Yeah, I worked with a guy who knows the Lord, and we went to a meeting, and the guy flipped out on me, and you know what happens. Sean's downstairs. He knows. You get in there, you prep, you're like all excited, you know, set it down. The guy's like, it's garbage, and you're like, oh, jeepers, you know. And he was just impressed that I kept my cool. You know, 20s, late 20s. That's usually when the guy acts like a buffoon, loses his job, you know, and got to apologize. But I told him, you got to keep in your mind, that guy, we know him, he doesn't have Christ. He doesn't have Christ in him. I shouldn't expect him to live like that, to act in a way that's appropriate. I mean, why are you putting these rules above someone else's head that doesn't have the power? We should expect that of each other here, not of the world. And we look at the world and we see the mess, it makes sense. They don't have Christ. Secondly, realize. So first, we need to make sure we have that real relationship, that digging it, not acting like a child, knowing the Word of God. Secondly, realize this is important. Fatherhood is caught, not taught. Okay? It's caught. But we can't give the excuse that, it's important to God. We know that. Psalm 68, 4 and 5, it says, "Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Lift up a song to Him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before Him. For the Father of the fatherless, protector of the widows, is God in His holy habitation." That's His habitation, taking care of the fatherless and the widows. What's important to you? Because to God, it's the fatherless and the widows. You know, we need to have that salvation. And after we have salvation, we need to act like God. We need to live out like Christ. God tells us here, He cares about the fatherless and the widows. Are we taking care of them? Are we helping them? Are we building them up? Taking their kids, grabbing them, men. I mean, plainly in Scripture, we see that God wants the older men to be teaching the younger men. Older men in the church here, do you have a younger man underneath you? Are you reaching out to a younger man in this church, building him up? Because it's society today, all I see, I look around, it's just here locally. We look at these churches, there's a pastor leaving up here in a hill, there's another pastor struggling down the road. You know what the older men are doing? They're beating the guy up. I mean, the guy should just slip on a big punching bag and just walk into church. Say, "Here you go, guys." Give them all the understanding. This is what I feel like every day. I do something different. You're like, that young guy. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Are you praying for him? Are you reaching out to him? Finding out what's his concerns? What else is going on in his life? You have to understand, he's a man of God. He's a child of God, selected by God, laid on his heart to lead you. Pray for him. Reach out to him. You see the young people in this church? Grab them. Take them out for a meal. Take them out, go-karting, silliness, just fun. Let them know that there's another man in the church they can reach out to. I can tell you this, that, and I don't speak for myself, but the fathers in this church, I guarantee you, are not going to argue because you want to take one of our kids out and spend some time with them. You know, it's our heart's desire to see our kids not just knowing there's not just one man, that to look around and see that there's a society here. There's a family. This is a community here. Bringing up our children. Guiding, directing them. We need to realize it's important and we need to realize it's needed. Ephesians, while you're there, look at chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. It says, "Look carefully then. How you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." We look at our society and we see it's a mess. And as we stated in the beginning, we understand that without Christ. We see the men running out of the church, not running in. You know, take an example here is people talk about is pornography. You know, we get upset because it's the magazines and the shelf. It's on the internet. It's all over the place. But it's the largest growing industry in this world, financially. And they say around 40 to 60% of the men in the church are involved in it. That industry, we shouldn't. Why do we need to make another law and say make it illegal? How about we don't partake of it and it goes bankrupt? It's growing because we're partaking of it. You want to help change things, reach a soul. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, stop that. That's how you get better. Good." No, he said, "Follow me. Take up your cross. Walk with me. Just be with me. You'll see it. You'll understand. You'll drop these things. You'll put these things aside. It'll change within you." You know, we look at society and we say, "Well, you know, look at the young women in it's their fault. Look at these young women. Look how they dress. It's messing with my head." Well, you know, a lot of those young women, they act and dress that way, or even older women, because they didn't have a man that loved them. They didn't have a dad that took them in and told them that they're beautiful from the inside out. All they know is they see society focused on the outside in. In fact, they don't care about what's in. They just want to know what's on the outside. They need to know that it's beautiful from inside out. God loves the heart. Guess what? This flesh is junk. It's just going to be left. You're going to throw it in the ground and deteriorate. We're getting a new one when we get to heaven. Praise God, huh? Thank God I don't have to take this one. I want a new one. You know, that's what Jesus, He loves the soul. He looked upon the crowds and He just saw and He had compassion on them. He loved them. We need to love the people. And I love Francis Chan. I love his testimony. He was sharing this that, you know, people look at him and his mother died giving birth to him. A few years later, his dad died, and then he moved to another family. They died. They got in a car accident, and people look at that and just go, man, this kid's going to be a mess when he grows up. But his young teenage years, he got saved. And he looked at that psalm, that verse, Psalm 68, 4, that's his life verse. Because he says, you know what? I read that, and I said, he's a father to the fatherless. I don't have a dad here. Almighty God, creator of the universe, he's my dad? Wow. You guys all bring your dads, and you're like, look at this guy. Mine's God. It encouraged him. We need to take the young people who don't have the dad and show them this. That's the church's job. Show them that you don't have to look to society. You can look to God. God cares for you. He loves you. He wants to work in you. When I'm not here helping and doing what I can, understand that God's there no matter what. He cares for the fatherless. He cares for the widows. Keep your finger there in Ephesians 5. Just flip over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16. You know, I love this. Paul, he's just so, as we just got almost done walking through Romans 16, verses 13, 14, and 15. It says, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all you do be done in love. Man, that should be your verse right there. You should take that verse and put it out, the 4 points. Be watchful, stand firm, act like a man, and be strong. The first one there, be watchful. Are you watching? You know, like in the cities and back in the day, they had the tower was the tallest, and that man stood there. He watched. He was watching, making sure anything that came this way that's going to take on this city, you got to turn it in, you got to get rid of it. You got to make sure it's good first. If it's good, you let it in. If it's bad, you keep it out. Are you watchful of your family? First, are you watchful of your own self? Are you making sure you're not involved in this pornography or what you're looking at or the crude jokes at work? Or are you involved with these things? Are you watchful of yourself? You need to make sure yourself is good enough for your family. Get that cleaned up. Get it corrected. And then you need to make sure while you're doing this, you can't just say, well, I'm going to put you aside here and work over here. No. You need to do this. You need to be watchful. What's your family watching? What are they putting in their eye gates? What are your kids looking at, watching, studying? What are they reading? You know, our neighbors came over, and we get it often, and it doesn't faze me, but, you know, we homeschool our kids. And I'm not saying everybody has to. My wife is here for teaching. I'm down here. My daughter's above me. She's in second grade, okay? I'll be honest. All right? She corrects me at the dinner table. No, Daddy, that's how you use the word. It goes like this. And I'm like, girl, don't you correct Daddy. Oh, man. You know, they said, oh, when your kids want to socialize, you know, maybe they can come down to the Boy Scout thing or something at ours. I'm like, socialize? You think my kids are locked in a closet or something? What do you mean social? What does that mean? So I'm the pastor of the church down the road here. Oh, we're social. Oh, my goodness, are we social? I got my kids in church. We're in there a couple days a week. You know, my wife's part of this co-op. They get together, a bunch of them. This is not sitting in a, what do you people think? But we're watchful. My wife wants to make sure they have this certain education on it. What are you watching? What are you letting your kids watch? You know, Francis Chan takes the extreme, and he won't even let the TV. He only lets DVDs in his house, so he can check it. It's up. You need to do this. It's on you, men. It's on you. You need to be watchful. Secondly, you need to stand firm. Make sure whatever you pick, you stand firm on it. It's not, you can't get to heaven and say, well, God, my wife said, God, I had to do it. You need to stand firm. If you're confident that this is, you look at the Word of God and you say, honey, I don't think we should do this. I feel in my heart, I've been on my knees. I've been asking God to help me. And I need to stand firm here. We need to make sure we do this. We need to make sure we don't do that. You also need to stand firm on the Word of God. Your kids should know you because you know that you know the Word of God. That it's talked about. It's prayer is around your food. It's around your bedtime. Thirdly, I love that. Act like a man. Man up. So many people say that Christianity is just a full of bunch of wusses. But they're not a Christian then. It's not easy. Easy is out there. Do whatever you want. If it feels good, do it. Piece of cake. That's easy. Walk down the mall, you see something bad, turn your head. No, I'm not looking at that. Stand. You're acting like a man of God. I'm going to make sure my eyes are on the right things. I'm going to make sure that I'm strong in the Word of God. Oh, I'm tired. God, I'm tired. But I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on. I'm going to get up in the morning before my kids get up, before my wife gets up. I'm going to take this and just put it in my head. God, please help me. I'm begging you. I do it. Folks, trust me, I understand. I work a full-time job during the week. It's tough. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes, and I'm like, oh, Lord, get scotch tape them up. Here we go. You know? God, help me here. Help me. You get home, you got to sit in the driveway for 5-10 minutes and just say, God, get this junk out of my head. I don't want to go in and just dump on my family. My job stunk today. It was tough. It was hard. But my wife had a rough day too. So help me, God, to be that man. The man of God like Jesus wants me to be. Lastly, there, be strong. Be strong. Men, if your wife can beat you in arm wrestling, you're just not biblical. Okay? That's what it says. Be strong. I'm just I love that. Pastor said that this week. And I was like, that's pretty good, you know? Be strong. Your kids, your wife, your kids should know. You're the guy that they can go to when they get scared. You're strong. You're solid. Doesn't mean you can, you know, I mean, everybody, my dad can pick up a house. Well, my dad can pick up two houses, you know, back and forth. You know, that's, we know that. You're strong. You're known that you're a strong man. It doesn't mean you don't cry. That's the biggest cop-out I've ever heard. D.L. Moody. You know why people love D.L. Moody when he preached on hell? Because halfway through the sermon, he broke down like a baby every time. Because hell is real. And you don't want your kid going there, and you don't want your wife, you don't want your family living a life that represents that. You want your life, you want to break down? Break down with God. Don't be scared to break down with your kids. Let them know that it's okay to cry when it's the right things. But yeah, we need to be tough. My wife picks on me. I'm a little too tough. My don't tell my son, but all right? It's all between us. My daughter cold cocked him yesterday. I had to put a beam, peas, my daughter. She looks so sweet, doesn't she? I'm talking about Aubrey, not Olivia. Aubrey, 14-month-old. Don't you tick that kid off. Okay? Boys in here, all the younger men, I don't need to worry about her. She'll drop you. Caleb ticked her off. She had a toy in her hand. That was it. Screaming. I'm like, oh my goodness. Go in there. And it's Caleb. I'm like, what's your problem? She hit me. I'm like, oh, come on. Pulls his hand off. Oh, that's a good one. That's going to be a shiner. We got to get ice on that because everybody in church is going to be like, oh, look at Caleb get beat up by his little boy or girl, you know. But, you know, it's that, okay, you know, bruised up. I can see him crying for a little bit. But, you know, I mean, it's, we got to know. The kid's got to know. You got to be tough. There's times to cry. There's times to be sad. Lastly, there is representing. And Ephesians 5, this is where we're going to close. Ephesians 5. Back over there, Ephesians 5. I'm going to read through this scripture. And just bear with me. Follow right along. Ephesians 5, 22 through 39. 33. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife be that she respects her husband. You know, passages like that sometimes gets some ladies upset, because of the whole submit and respect. But usually you'll find it's because they didn't have a man that loved his wife like Christ loves the church. Because otherwise, that's a piece of cake, when the man loves his wife like Christ loves the church. Is it hard to submit to Jesus Christ? I mean, that makes sense. It's hard at times to make the flesh do it. But it's Christ. He's the Savior. It makes sense. The key there, though, is the emphasis. And he emphasizes it again at the end. However, let each one of you love his wife. Paul, he emphasizes that the church and Christ is a resemblance there of a marriage. But he overemphasizes over and over that, men, you need to love your wife the same way that Christ loves the church. That's serious love. That's a sacrificial love and an agape love, a willingness to do whatever it takes to provide and take care of the family. And in that respect, it has to go all around. And you, yes, we stop and we look. It's not easy. It's not easy. You need to make sure that you provide for them financially. You need to be sure that you're providing for them spiritually. It's a lot of work, men. But there's no verse in here that says that it's just take a break or relax. He says act like a man. Man up. You want to know what to do? You want to know how, when it gets tough, when it gets hard, what did Jesus do? He went and took a nap, right? He went up in the mountain and prayed. He begged God. He just got done feeding all these people, and he gets up on the mountain because he wanted to make sure it's all God. Think about that. Jesus wanted to make sure that everything went back to God. Guys, that's what we need to do. We need to realize that we need to have a real relationship with Jesus. Real. Not this, I prayed a prayer when I was a kid and I know I'm saved, okay? So you need to do the same thing. No, a real relationship. A relationship that you talk about with your kids. That it's something that is it like a relationship anywhere else that you have. You talk about it. It's a part of you. That your kids should see that. Your wife should see that. That it's a relationship. And we need to realize it's important and it's needed. Folks, we need men in this society. Men that aren't about getting lifted up, but instead pointing to Christ. Men that want to make sure they man up and take care of their families and don't take glory, but shine it right back to Christ. Lastly, there is the conclusion there, is do you love Christ? And this goes for everybody across the board. Do you love him? Now, a pastor asked that once. When's the last time, men, that you got on your knees with God and just told him you love him? You know, Steve and I were talking about that Friday. He's got a coworker that's just atheistic guy and doesn't want to listen to. You know, I love that. I was telling him about a guy that had a friend of his, and they're debating back and forth. He said, "Forget this." He gets over there and tells him to get on his knees, get on your knees, buddy, and just ask this. You know, and he went through sports guys. You know, so and so come into my heart and save me. So and so come into my heart. Now get on your knees and mean this. Ask to say, "Jesus Christ, come into my heart and save me." And he couldn't do it. There's power in the name of Christ. There's power within you. You're saved. There's no excuse. Now, I love that. As the pastor said the other day, I can tell about a relationship a person has with God, whether they have big problems or little problems. Because most people who have little problems have a really big God. People who have big problems have a little God. My God's got this. And I love that Francis said, my dad's got this. Because he said he's a father. My dad died, so he's got it. He stepped in. My stepdad is God. People laugh at that. That's fine. That's my dad. We need to have that same mindset. And men, we need to make sure we're representing God to our children, to our wives, to our society. People just look at you and they see Christ. So everyone bow their heads, close their eyes. I'd just like to give everyone just a few moments here before we get talking and chatting about everything else, about the week. And I'd like to challenge you men to just, in your seats there, just really ask God. Make sure you have a real relationship. If you're not saved, ask Him to save you now. If you are saved, but you haven't established it deeper, ask God to help you deepen your relationship. Ladies in here, ladies, you can be praying that the men in this church man up. You need to be praying that the men will be watchful. That they'll keep their eyes out and watch and make sure that our community here, our family at Berean is protected. Men, ask God to help you to be watchful, to be standing firm in the Word of God. To act like a man. To put away childish ways, excuses. Realize that the power of the Holy Spirit's in you. The power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead resides in you. You can do this. You must walk with Christ, though. And be strong. Father God, God, help us. Help us to man up. God, may you look down in this church and see a church full of warriors. Men that are ready to take on the battle that's ahead of them. Realizing that they have you, Jesus Christ, residing in them, the Holy Spirit working, providing the power that they need to do this life. And Lord, help us, as that last part there told us, to do this in love. God, help us to love you. Help us to live out a love that represents you. God, please help each person here to walk out these doors representing Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.